that we can thank God for. And this week has just been such a good week. I hope you've had a great week, like I said this morning earlier. But I just want to praise God for what he's done for me, because he's done so much that I don't deserve. You know, I got a two-year-old who the beginning of his life was just such a turmoil, and God's brought him through so much, and now God's given us a second one. I don't know what I did to deserve that, but you know, God's blessing me beyond everything that I could ever deserve. And you know, from a good family to a good church family to just everything that he's given me, I'm just so undeserving of. And you know, this week is just kind of got me to thinking about that. And you know, I'm so blessed. Does anybody else have anything they want to thank God for this morning, just real fast before we get into our Bible study this morning? Miss Denise?
I mentioned it already in Sunday school, but yesterday the manor workers got together at Ann and Ray's house, and how wonderful was the day. It was beautiful.
Yes.
We were all sitting outside, and just the fellowship that we all had. I mean, there's no booze involved, there's no cussing involved, there's no fights involved. To be able to get together with fellow Christians and just have such a sweet time, it was just, not a lot of groups can get together and say that, you know? And
yes,
they all have something in common, in one accord. Was just beautiful. That was a gift from God.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? The ice cream was awesome. All right, let's open up our Bibles. I'm not going to belabor, but let's open up our Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4. And as I begin to study this week about what God wanted me to speak on, one topic just kept coming up. And that's going to be the title of the message this morning. And the topic is, He is my all and all. He is my all and all. And there's so many things that we could talk about throughout the Bible that list. He is our all in all. But I think Philippians chapter number 4 gives us a good description of what he really is, our all in all. And if you look through each book or each section of the Bible, you'll see different themes, so to speak, that go through there. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and that's the love chapter of the Bible, you know. And you look at Philippians chapter number 1, and in that chapter itself, you will see the word rejoice or joy in that chapter so many times. And in this chapter alone, we will look at the word all or always, and it repeats itself so many times. And when I look at the Bible, you know, when God tells us to do something, of course, or has us to remember something, I think it's very important that we, of course, take into it. But when he repeats something and he tells us over and over and over again to remember something, I think it's very important that we not only hear it, but then we take it into our lives and make it part of our lives' way of doing things, because God wants us to really take heed and listen to that. You know, as I was growing up, and I look back on when I was growing up, my mom would tell me, if I told you one time, I've told you 100 times to do this. You know, and that's God to us. He's like, look, I've told you so many times. I want you really to pay attention to this. Please pay attention. And I think that's what with the use of Paul, God was telling us here in this chapter. Now, let me give you a little bit of background of this book. The church at Philippi, you got to understand, they were going through some things during this time. Defeatism was one of them. You know, they felt defeated because the enemy was overcasting them and persecuting them and just overwhelming them every day. There was disunity within the church as well as in society. And we see that also in today's world. We see where we as Christians feel defeated because so many people are against us and so many people are for the world instead of for what God wants us to do. And we just feel like we're overran by everybody else. Is that not true? There's sometimes where I'm like, man, I'm done. I'm down in the dumps. I just feel like I am just done. But also, we see disunity in our country, in our state, in our community, in our world, where nobody can get along. Even when people need gas, people are fighting in line because of $20 worth of gas. I mean, why? Why is that? We know why it is. Because Satan wants to fight tooth and nail for everybody not to be together. But not only that, let me tell you something. Teenagers deal with this one thing. One of the biggest problems teenagers deal with right now is depression. Depression is one of the biggest things. Teenagers and young adults, those are the two biggest things that teenagers are two groups that depression hits the most right now. And I've heard so many kids or teenagers come up to me, and not just in our church, but in our community, who say, man, I'm dealing with this. What do I do to get this help? And more people are dealing with that. And they were dealing with that at the Church of Philippi. So this morning, I want to encourage you. Yeah, it looks grim. It looks terrible. It looks like we're just all going to have some terrible things come about. But let me encourage you this morning. As I stated, the title, He is our all in all. God is our all in all. And I want to show us this morning some examples that God was showing this church at Philippi. That, hey, look, it looks terrible. It looks bad. But I want to show you something. So let's go ahead and we're going to start in verse number 4. And we'll start there. And it says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse number 4. Paul was telling that church at Philippi, hey, guys, listen up. Be happy, rejoice, always rejoice in everything you do, in the good times and in the bad times. You know, real joy comes from our forgiveness in God for what He's done for us. When we have pure joy, is because we're basking in that joy that God has saved our soul from a life of hell, of torment, and everything else. And He's brought us out of that miry clay and put us up on this rock and said, look, you are my child forever and ever. When I look at you, I don't see what you've done bad, but I see the blood that my Son has put on your heart. And I see you as my son or daughter. And we need to rejoice in that. I was telling our class this morning, you know, we as Christians, a lot of time we look like a donkey. You know, we have the long face, we're sad, or a mule, we look mad, and we're not happy. You know, we take things too much to heart sometimes. I'm going to pick on my father-in-law right now because I know I can. My father-in-law is one of the most goofiest people I've ever been around. He loves to cut up. He loves to just have a good time. And I know if I'm having a rough day or something, I know when I get home and I see Danny and Teresa with Daniel, I know I'm not going to have a rough day too much longer, because he's going to end up making me laugh in some way. But it's true for all of us. We all need to be like that more. Now, we know there's a time to be serious and there's that. But God was telling us, hey, we need to be happy. We need to enjoy life. He's given us this beautiful place to live in. It's not so hot that when you walk outside, you're sweating from head to toe already. You know, it's not like it's so cold that we have to wear 30 layers of clothes. We have a perfect place to live where God has given us the beauty of trees and flowers and everything else. And he's saying, look, sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes it's going to be good. But remember what I've done for you. He is my all in all because of what he has done for me on the cross 2,000 years ago. But not just on the cross, but because he raised from the dead 3 days later. See, he could have just died on the cross. That would have just been the same as the two thieves. You know, he would have just been another thief on the cross, so to speak. But because 3 days later, that stone was rolled away, and he was not there, but he is in heaven with his Father right now, we have life eternal one day, forever and ever with him. And that is amazing. That's why we rejoice. That is why we remember to rejoice. But not only that, let's look at verse number 5. He says this, let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. Paul was saying here, hey, tell your testimony to everybody you come to. Brother Don tells us, has told me story after story where he used to go to McDonald's all the time. I don't know if he still goes there and inside and eat or not. But I remember him telling me story after story where he got to tell and witness to people at McDonald's. It doesn't matter where we're at. You know, the church is not right here. This is just a building. The church is in us. We are the church. And we are to witness, and we are to let our moderation, our testimony, our blessings, everything that God has given us, we are to let known to all men. Now, does that mean that they're going to accept us? No, not everybody. Not everybody is going to be accepting of what God says or what God is to us because, you know, some people just doesn't understand it. They've never been to church or they don't know what God is to us. But God tells us to tell everybody around us. But does he tell us to do that in a very proudful way? Or does he tell us to do that in a very arrogant way or mean way? No, he tells us to do it in a very gentle and meek way. In the fruits of the Spirit, he gives us humbleness. He gives us meekness. He gives us gentleness and kindness. One of the worst things in this world today, people are not, they don't have the kindness. They don't have the gentleness with each other. They have proudness and arrogance and meanness, and they have no care for one another at all. But we as Christians, we as the church, we need to show the kindness of God. We need to show the lovingness of God. Yes, God is a God of wrath, and he's a God of righteousness, but he wants us as people of his pasture, people of his family, to show care to each other, to show love to each other, to show love to somebody who's in front of you getting gas at BP or wherever you're getting gas or in Ingles or where at. He wants us to show kindness, and he wants us to tell him about what he's done for us. Number 3, in verse number 7, he says this. We'll back up to verse number 6. Sorry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. He's saying, you know what, guys? If you're part of God's family, you have a peace that passes all understanding, all knowledge, all everything in this world has to understand. We have that living in our hearts right now. If you're part of God's family, there's a hope beyond all hopes that you have that gives you that peace. And that you have that one day you're going to live with him forever. And when you're going through these situations, whether you're deciding where to work or where to go to school at for your younger kids or you know, where you're going to live at, there's peace in those situations that you can go over because he is living right there with you. He's going through those situations. And he's being there. And 1 Peter chapter number 5 verse 7 says this, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. See, when we're making those decisions, we don't need to make those decisions alone. There's a lot of times where, you know, if I'm trying to make a decision for my family, or if I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to do this or what I'm going to do that with, you know, I try to do things on my own, because I'll be honest, I'm a proud man. I want to do things on my own. I don't want help. I want to do it on my own so I can look back and say, look at what I did. And that's being honest. But instead of that, we need to say, okay, God, how can you help me? He's saying, cast everything upon you, because he cares so much for us. I'll be honest, I cannot fathom letting Daniel go and die for a bunch of people who half the time don't care for me. If I was God myself, there's no way I could say, okay, Daniel, go ahead and do that. If you really love them, people, go and do that. I couldn't do that. But you know what? That's in my human mind. That's our human mind. We can't fathom what God's mind is, truly. There's a knowledge above all knowledge what God's mind is, and we can't fully fathom why God did the way he did and why he sent his son, other than this. He loves us and he cares for us. He is our all in all this morning. And everything we've talked about so far, he is all in all in our joy. He's all in all in our moderation or our gentleness towards people. And he's also our all in all in the peace that he gives us. You know, when somebody dies and you go talk to the family, there's a lot of times where I'm like, I have no idea where to even begin. And you know, that's not my place to begin anything, because it's God's place to work in these families' lives, because he gives that peace beyond everything, beyond all measures for us. He loves us, he cares for us, and he gives us peace because he loves us. But not only that, that we also need to be content with everything that we have. In today's world, I hear so many teenagers and so many young people saying, oh, I want what my grandfather has. Which normally their grandfathers have a nice house, everything you can ask for, and you know, they want to start way over there. But you know, that's not what God's saying. God says, be happy where I've placed you. Be happy with what you have. Be happy with everything I have. And verse number 11 says this, not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be filled and to be hungry, and both to abound and to suffer need. Paul was telling these guys at Philippi, hey, God is showing us that we need to be content. We need to be happy. We don't need to be striving for enviousness of other people. We need to be right where God wants us to be. You know, sometimes pastors, we see other pastors who have these bigger churches and these bigger youth groups and these successful programs, and we become envious of those, because we're like, God, why aren't you using me that way? Why is my youth group not growing? Why am I not getting any bigger? And God has to remind me sometimes, hey, I'm using you where I want you to be used. Hey, I'm there. You're not seeing me working, but I'm working in people's lives. Just be content. Being steadfast in the faith. Be ready at every moment. He's telling us to be content where we're at. Sometimes that's hard, because we want more. We want more. And that's okay, because we're humans. We're human beings. We strive on those type of things. But God's like, hey, hold on a second. Let's try to dial it back just a little. That's what he's telling us. Just dial it back just a little. But the next verse is even better. He says this, and everybody probably knows this verse, but he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He says this, through me, you can do all things. You can be a conqueror through it all. As Romans chapter number 38 or 37, chapter 8, verse 37 says this, that we are conquerors through him. We have conquered everything through Christ. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that you can do on our own to conquer anything. But with Christ, we conquered everything in this life. Because, you know why? Because we have that hope that he is with us. We know that he lives inside of us. We can go with strength in him to battle. And we can go and battle and know that God is there battling right there with us. We can do all things through him. We can't even breathe without God. We can't walk without him. We can't talk. We need to remember that it's God and God alone, that it's him going through us and strengthening us to being with him. I said this morning that today is the day that the Lord has made. The verse didn't say today is the day that I had made or that Brother Don had made. It's that the Lord hath made. We got to remember the Lord had made everything for us and that he's strengthening us and that he helps us through every situation. But it doesn't stop there. In verse number 18, he says this. He says, but I have all and abound, and I am full and having receiving of Euphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. We have everything, Paul is saying, we have everything that we need to serve God. We have all of our tools right here in this book to serve God. There is nothing more, nothing less than God himself and his word that we need to serve him. He will give us the knowledge when he wants us to. You know, there's sometimes where I'll read a Bible, passages of the Bible, and I don't understand it. Because God's telling me, hey, I'm not ready for you to understand it yet. But then about a week or two later, he shows me exactly in a way of basic life principles or in his word, hey, this is what I'm trying to teach you. You weren't ready for it yet, but now you are. But you see, God's word's already right here. He shows us and he tells us exactly what he wants us to do. And in the one of the Gospels, he tells us to go and tell everybody about him. That's how we serve him. There ain't no big formula or hypothesis to go and worship and serve God. It's just to go tell everybody what he has done for you because of his all in all that he is for us. To go tell him what he's done for us. You know, there's a lot of times I get ungrateful because I'm a human, because I think that, well, you know, I'm nothing. You know, I just, you know, feel like I'm just my own self, you know, and I forget what God's done for me. In weeks like this past week, God has to remind me, hey, you know what? Look at what I've done for you. Look at what I'm giving you despite of who you are and what you've done. Now, I haven't committed a murder or anything like that, but I have lied before. I have not done exactly what I was supposed to be doing. And I'm just as guilty as a murderer. And so God's like showing me sometimes, hey, look how much I bless you. Look how much I've given you. You have your instructions. Just do it. But lastly, and I think most importantly, Christ is with us. Christ is with us always. Verse number 23 says this, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." All is the end of that other than amen. The last word Paul tells the church of Philippi, all. Wasn't some, wasn't one, wasn't with just the pastor, wasn't with just the deacons. It wasn't just with the men, it wasn't just with the kids, it was with us all. And it continues. The Bible says that his mercy and his grace endureth to all generations, that he is with us throughout all eternity in this life. And so God is with us, and we have to remember that he is our all, and everything that we do, everything that we love, and everything that is about us is him. See, it's not about what I have done. It's not about who I am. It's about who he is for us. See, sometimes we forget what he's given us. And a lot of times we just glance over it and say, yeah, you're my all in all. But this week, for me, he has showed me that, man, he is with me 100% in everything I do. And he's shown me that he gives me the strength in everything I've done and gives me the knowledge to know how to speak to people. And I'm not the best speaker by no means. You can ask our teenagers. I twist up words, and instead of fiery furnace, I say furry furnace in the teen group, you know. So, but God says, you know what? In spite of who you are, I am your all in all. He is your all in all this morning if you are part of his family. That's all it's about, guys. It's not about the fancy houses. It's not about the fancy cars. It's not about anything else. And I'm not downing those at all. But first and foremost in our lives and in our families, it's him. And it's him being our all in all and our foremost in our lives. The world is looking for something. The world is looking to fill this void of whatever they can fill. And it just seems like they can't fill it. Because you know why? They're looking in the wrong place. They're not looking in the right place to look for it. They're looking in the wrong place to fill their own desires. That void is Jesus Christ. That void is our Lord and Savior. He is with us and he's always with us. So this morning, if you're not part of God's family, you're not saved, and you don't have him as your Lord and Savior, this morning I challenge you to get that right. And if you are, great. I'm excited. I get to be with you. Get to be with me forever in heaven. How do you like that? Some of the teenagers are like, oh no, we got to be with him forever. Come on. But it's true. You get to see my lovely face. But if not, you'll be separated from us. My challenge for you this week is to remember he is our all in all. He's our all in all that he is with us. He's our all in all in everything that we need to serve him, to accomplish things, to be content with things, to have that peace that passes all understanding, to let our moderation be known, and to be happy, to be joyful. To be joyful in what he's given us. And it's hard. It's not easy, guys. But I promise you, you will have a great time in the Lord if you just rejoice and remember that he is your all in all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your love and your grace. And God, I pray that we will take this and remember and be encouraged that although the world looks so far-fetched and so wildly deceptive, that you are there and that it's okay. God, I pray if there's someone here this morning that's dealing with something, God, I pray that you'll just give them peace and give them help that passes all understanding. God, I pray for if there's one here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that this morning that they can know that you're there all in all. God, we love you. We thank you for calling us. God, be with us in the next few moments. In Jesus' name. For the next few moments, just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. And I just want you to thank God for what he has done for you. And thank God for what he is doing in your life.